Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. We have a busy docket today. First, today would have been J.J. Vallow's 9th birthday. And now the question needs to be answered. Is something big coming in the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matters? And let's talk about a subpoena as well. Second, the judge in the Barry Morphew matter says no rebroadcasting. Third, if you can't trust the mailman, who can you trust? Fourth, if this story doesn't want you to have complete access to your children's phone, I don't know what will. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button as well as that bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. All right, today is Tuesday. What does that mean? Tuesday night live, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, right here. Please join us. Immediately following that, we have the Patreon show as well. If you haven't become a Patreon, now's a good time to do so. All right, let's get straight to the docket. Today is J.J. Vallow's 9th birthday. That's right, he would have been 9 years old today, but for the fact his mother couldn't properly protect him and wound up being discovered, obviously deceased, in the yard of Chad DeBell. Well, wondering if charges will ever be brought as it relates to the death of J.J. and Ty Lee. Well, there's some rumblings on the ground that something's coming soon. Now, we try not to get into speculation and what ifs because, frankly, it doesn't really matter. You can what if something all day long. What really matters is facts. But I'm telling you, there's something that's coming, and we'll just leave it right there. Next thing I want to talk about is that a key witness in the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matters was served a subpoena. Now, who issued the subpoena? It was attorney Mark Means, the attorney who is now operating under state expense for Lori Vallow since she was found indigent. And normally the public defender would then get on the case. But in this particular case, the court found that probably there's an ongoing relationship, attorney-client that is, and therefore it just makes sense not to have somebody basically start all over again. As you may recall, here we are almost a year into this process, and we've done really nothing in this particular case. Well, Mark Means served a subpoena duces tecum. What is that? It's a subpoena to appear and a subpoena to produce documents. That's the duces tecum part. And the witness that was served in this particular case was Melanie Gibb. As you may recall, she testified at the preliminary hearing, was a key member of Lori Vallow's kind of inner circle, so to speak. And she was served this subpoena while she was in Rexburg. The return of service in this particular case comes from a Mary Lee Jorgensen. She's the process server at Bulldog Legal Support. And she states that on May 19th of 2021, she personally served a true and correct copy of the subpoena duces tecum to Melanie Gibbs. And she was apparently residing at the Spring Hill Suites in Rexburg, Idaho. According to Ms. Jorgensen, Melanie Gibbs refused to take the subpoena and then the process server advised her that she has been served. The requirements in Idaho, apparently nothing more than somebody over the age of 18, not a party related to any of the parties in the above entitled action. And that is it. Is that good service? Yeah, probably so. If Melanie Gibb, in fact, identified herself as being Melanie Gibb, then she may have to comply with the subpoena duces tecum, or in the alternative, she needs to file a motion to quash. Now, I'm not really, I mean, I get why Mr. Means is doing this, but once again, we're kind of getting back to the whole issue regarding there's a way you try a criminal case and there's a way you try a civil case. a lot of this looks like a civil case. And if this was a civil case, you would have to turn over all of this information. And what is he asking for? Well, he's asking for all communication, texts, emails, voicemails, SMS messages, chat records, social media communications, broadcasts, and the like between Melanie Gibb and the following individuals between January 1 of 2019. He starts off listing 26 individuals or organizations that he is requesting this information from. And then under letter Z, any news journalists or reporters, including but not limited to Nate Eaton of the East Idaho News, ABC, NBC, Dateline, MSNBC, Keith Morrison, Shane Bishop, yada, yada, yada. It goes on. Then he asks for any communications between police officers, the district attorney, et cetera, et cetera. Then he wants all telephone records and of all telephone numbers owned and used by Ms. Gibb from the date above, including all text records, telephone call records, identifying all telephone numbers you've been personally, professionally, or temporarily used, aka burner phones, et cetera, et cetera. And then he wants all travel records and all social media records. Well, can he ask for this? Yes, he can. Can he get it? Well, that's going to be interesting. This document was served on May 17th, and the return date is at his office of the office of Mr. Means on June 1st of 2021. Frankly, that seems a little voluminous for anybody to do if they're going to comply with it. It would seem like Ms. Gibb would want to get an attorney and file a motion to quash. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a fishing expedition. You do not get to issue subpoenas and say, just give me everything, I'll know what I'm looking for. When you subpoena documents, you have to know what you're looking for. You have to know that the record exists. You can't just say, bleh, give me everything out there in all your phone records so I can go search through it. It's burdensome. It's meant to harass. And the court would more than likely quash this motion. So hopefully Melanie Gibb will do that. Now, certainly, would we like to know what Melanie Gibbs has? Absolutely. But there's rules relating to this. As an officer of the court, it'd be lovely if I could simply subpoena everybody and anything I want in a particular case, but you have to do it smartly. Mr. Means would probably have a much better chance of just getting this information, since more than likely he knows of the email provider. He knows more than likely the carrier and the phone number. So you could send all those records off to the telephone company and see what comes up. Frankly, you can do both. And if Ms. Gibb has to turn over some of these documents as well, then you compare what was produced from the company versus what was produced from Ms. Gibb. And then you compare them. And it's always interesting when you subpoena both parties to two sides of a communication to see what happened. Now, I believe the court would quash this subpoena duces tecum as being overly broad, cumbersome, and filed with the intent to harass, annoy, alarm, and intimidate. So, we'll see what comes of it. As always, Mr. Means seems to be just a little too late to the party, which would, of course, cause a further delay. I guess the real question would be, if you wanted all these documents, why didn't you do this 6 months ago, not literally a month before a hearing that's going to take place on June 6th? Next on the docket, the judge in the Barry Morphew case says no live streaming. Now, in today's world, everybody wants to see courts in action. Who doesn't, right? I'm a firm believer that all courts should be open to the public. Everybody should be able to watch. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, the courts had to open up because they weren't conducting business in court, which was an open courtroom, which means everybody could just literally walk in and see. So they now had to do WebEx. And early on, it was broadcast to the world to see because it had to be an open courtroom. Makes sense, right? Well, the Colorado rules regarding expanded media coverage are old. They were written decades ago, before probably even the internet. It was when you wanted to have, you know, somebody from the newspaper or the local TV station show up and simply record the proceedings. Rarely were trials completely recorded. Now, in today's world, you want to be able to see everything, but the rules haven't kept up with the law. So although the hearing on May 27th for the filing of charges, basically the second advisement, will not be broadcast for streaming. However, they'll be streamed on WebEx to keep an open courtroom so that the world can see. However, there's always a catch. And the court notes that there is no constitutional right to use cameras or audio transmitting devices during court proceedings. And for those of you who saw, I was a guest on Mike King's show several weeks ago, Profiling Evil, when Barry Morphew was being advised the first advisement, and they had the stream up. And I said, whoa, you don't want to do that. Take that down. And they did, all right? Because as an officer of the court, I don't want to be held in contempt, and neither do any of you. So the court says, therefore, it is ordered that any recordings or rebroadcast of virtual court proceedings in this case for any pretrial hearing other than the arraignment is prohibited. And we're not at arraignment yet, ladies and gentlemen, because the Colorado rules only say you can do the first advisement and then arraignment. And then the court goes on to say what I was concerned about, which is why we won't be rebroadcasting it, is violations of the order may result in sanctions such as exclusion from future virtual proceedings and prosecution for contempt of court. So don't do it unless you want to go to jail. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to jail. And if you did it and you got caught, you'd probably qualify as a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Because why? I warned you, don't do it. Next on the docket, if you can't trust the mailman, who can you trust? Well, two United States Postal Service employees have pled guilty to charges they unlawfully bought and cashed postal money orders with thousands of dollars in California unemployment benefits obtained through false claims of COVID-related job losses. That's according to prosecutors. Christian Jeremy James, 31, and Armand Caleb Lagarde each pled guilty in separate hearings to one count of use of unauthorized access devices, and that's according to the United States Attorney. Both these gentlemen worked for the post office in Los Angeles. Prosecutors allege that the pair obtained debit cards that the California Employment Development Department, the EDD, had issued to other people for unemployment insurance benefits. The cards were obtained by other unidentified individuals using stolen identities and false information. As part of the plea agreement, James and Lagarde admitted they used debit cards the EDD had issued to other people in order to purchase or cash money orders from the United States Postal Service and to withdraw thousands of dollars in cash from bank ATMs between August of last year and February of this year. How much money did they ultimately take? James admitted to stealing $142,000. Lagarde admitted to stealing $160,000. Their sentencing hearing is scheduled for September 30th. We will see. Now, let me tell you a story. When I was a young attorney, I had a guy that was accused of stealing junk mail. And my guy guidelined out so low that he was actually eligible for a probationary sentence. And the judge that we went in front of was an old school judge. He was a judge that actually did the Oklahoma City bombing case, Judge Mache. And you didn't play with Judge Mache. I could tell you stories about Judge Mache that would just crack you up and scare you to death. But he was a no-nonsense guy. And I'm thinking, Judge, give this guy probation. It's just a bunch of junk mail. They probably wouldn't read the junk mail anyway. And guess what? Judge Mache said, I come from a small Western town. And if you can't trust the mailman to deliver the mail, who can you trust? And he maxed my client out in that particular case for sentencing. So I've always remembered that. If you can't trust the mailman, who can you trust? Well, let's talk about who you can't trust in this next particular case, okay? And I'm telling you, If this case doesn't want you to go and look at your kid's phone right now, I'm not exactly sure what would, okay? And we've talked about this when we talk about Crime Talk Search. We talk about, hey, you know, have you maybe a significant other, somebody you just met. How about your kids? Not saying you shouldn't trust your kids, but don't trust your kids, right? I mean, they're young, they're doing stuff. What do? They sit in the room all day on computers. You don't know what the hell they're doing. You need to check it out. And this is why. Take a listen to this story. An Ohio man was arrested just yesterday for allegedly abducting a teenage girl and threatening her life. Now, Samuel Bowles, 27, is accused of forcing a 17-year-old girl out of her house and into his vehicle on May 15th. Prosecutors allege that Bowles and the victim previously knew each other. Now, I've had a 17-year-old daughter, and I'm pretty damn certain she wasn't communicating with 27-year-olds. If she had been, I would have hunted him down. Anyway, Bowles is accused of driving the teen to an undisclosed oil well site where he allegedly beat and strangled her. Bowles is accused of then taking the teen to his house where he allegedly picked up a knife, scissors, and a hammer with other tools, and then took her to a third location and allegedly threatened to pull out all of her teeth and pliers and shoot her with a shotgun. Nice guy. Sounds like a catch indeed. Well, Bowles then allegedly showed the teen a hole dug in the ground near a trail he described as her grave. How the hell did she find this guy? Bowles got spooked, according to prosecutors, where he took her to a house in Canton, Ohio, where he allegedly locked the girl and himself in a room. Witnesses reportedly became suspicious and called the police. The teen reportedly told residents at the location that she needed help. Good for her. Bowles then fled the scene before the police arrived. Samuel Bowles has been charged with kidnapping, aggravated menacing, and theft. He's going to be arraigned next week, and he's being held on a $1.5 million bond. Now, I'm glad that this unidentified 17-year-old is safe. She's probably going to be traumatized as hell, but I'm sure she won't be doing one thing, and that's meeting 27-year-olds on the internet, because you don't know who the hell you're going to come across. You could come across a Mr. Bowles. We'll give them presumption of innocence, but what the hell is a 27-year-old doing talking to a 17-year-old? That's just weird. It's creepy. And in most states, still illegal. Let's take a quick recess before we continue on with the docket. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. What is it with people and domestic violence and food? How many cases have we talked about over the years about people assaulting their significant other with food? I think we've had tacos, we've had hamburgers, ice cream. Yep, you name it. And here we go again. What is the instrumentality of the day? Pizza. That's right. Police arrived at a home responding to a disturbance. When the door was opened, what did they see? That's right. A 20-year-old covered with what appeared to be tomato sauce on the left side of her face. When the police opened the front door, what did they find? That's right, more evidence. They found the ground was completely covered with pizza toppings. The victim told the police that her father, 41-year-old Tyler Warden, came to her home Sunday afternoon to drop pizza off. But when she told Warden that she was not feeling well and asked him to leave, he began to argue with her. He could have just left and had the whole pizza for himself. When the woman sought to close the front door, Warden allegedly threw a pizza slice at his daughter, striking her in the face. Why do people want to use pizza and food as an instrumentality to commit a domestic abuse? I do not know. That's right. It would still be an act of domestic violence, even on your child, a family member, or someone that's been involved in an intimate relationship. Well, needless to say, Mr. Warden was arrested, booked into custody, posted a $500 bond in order to have no contact with his daughter. And not surprisingly, when the officers made contact with Mr. Warden, that's right, he was suspected of having a strong odor of an unknown alcoholic beverage on his breath. Funny how that always seems to work out, doesn't it? Alcohol and food being thrown. It's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Be smart. Well, Mr. Warden, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. If you are crowned the dumb criminal contestant winner of the week, which we will recap and announce next week, that's right, you could win a Crime Talk mug. And you can do lots of things with it. You could put pizza in it. You could drink from it. Just don't throw it at anyone. All right. That's all we have today. Please join us tonight for our live 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Hope you join us. We'll see you then. And if there's any breaking news on the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matter, we will bring it to you. Have a wonderful day.